Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado. No wonder Chevy Silverado is the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Check out a new Silverado at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Awesome. This is Scott Stantis filling in for Nick DiGilio here. You're up all night and joined, as always, by recovering millennial Matt McNelly. Matt?
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Chicago. We've got someone on the line here who I'm really excited about. I'm going to get right to him in a second here. Ted Rall has just come out with a biography, although it's more than a biography. It's actually a political dissertation on the ascent of Bernie Sanders, this, of course, independent senator from Vermont. And Ted is also a two-time Pulitzer finalist, which is two times more than, say, me. Not that I'm bitter or keep score or
two
anything.
Times more than me as well, so don't feel bad.
And he's on the line with us now, live from New York. Ted, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, Scott. How are you doing all night today?
Oh, we're doing great. You know me.
Night owl.
I run with the dogs. I run with the coyotes. I'm up all night, baby. Yeah, okay, sure, said the pudgy middle-aged guy. Hey, Bernie is out. We can get it. You can pre-order now from Amazon. Is that right?
That's right. Okay. Comes out January 19th.
Great. And can, like I just tried to describe it, it's not just a biography of Bernie Sanders, but more, it's a broader discussion of what's happened to the left wing of the Democratic Party, or as Howard Dean called it, the Democratic wing of the Democratic Party.
That's right, because I think that's why Bernie Sanders is important. When I set out to do a biography of him, you know, I discovered pretty quickly that he's not a terribly exciting guy. You know, he didn't have a political evolution. He didn't have a bunch of wild affairs. He's kind of been the same guy ever since, for half a century. And so why is he notable? And the real reason he's notable is because he's the first presidential candidate since George McGovern to have a fair shot at the Democratic presidential nomination, who is from that traditional, old-school, progressive, liberal wing of the Democratic Party. If you're Republican and you're listening to me, you might say, well, what about, you know, Barack Obama is far to the left, or Jimmy Carter. But within the Democratic Party, it is people like Obama and Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton are viewed as being more from the center wing of the Democratic Party.
And in fact, your book...
So this is more of a restoration, really.
And in fact, your book goes on to say that the center won and has forced out and muscled and elbowed out the left of the Democratic Party.
Yeah, I mean, both parties have moved to the right since 1972, since a very important election that people don't really talk about much anymore. But certainly, if you think about it, if you're a Republican, for example, think about where Richard Nixon was ideologically compared to a George W. Bush or a Ted Cruz or a Donald Trump. Donald Trump might be a bad example, but a Ted Cruz or a Marco Rubio. I mean, you know, the mainstream Republicans today are to the right of mainstream Republicans 50 years ago. And the same thing's true about mainstream Democrats. Hillary Clinton is more along the lines of what a Richard Nixon was like in 1972. And if you just look at the policies and you, the tones seems to be pretty much the same.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you and I have had this discussion a million times. I think she's Richard Nixon. She reminds me of him in 72 or 68, rather, when, you know, competence, you know, lack of personality, not very likable, but still obviously got elected twice. I suspect she will. I mean, now you and I talked about a while ago the latest Democratic debate, which I think was on at 3 a.m. on Guam Public Access, right? Or something like that, because they're trying to hide her. They're trying to bury the debates. But Bernie apologized again for his staff, his youngins, and their shenanigans. And this is the second debate where he has kind of kowtowed to her. Is he going to keep doing this?
God, I hope not. You know, aside from the fact that I'm sympathetic to Bernie, I just think it doesn't make for good politics, and it doesn't push things the way they need to be going. I mean, there's frankly, I don't want to see too much politeness between our presidential candidates. I want to see them fighting for our hearts and minds and fighting over policies. And, you know, the other day, Bernie Sanders said something outside of the debate that made me even more uncomfortable.
What's that?
Where he said, we have a difference of opinion on some issues, and we're trying to work out common ground. That's how he described the primary debate between him and Hillary. And it's like, no. That's not what this is. This isn't about you two trying to work out your differences in marriage counseling. This is about the future of the country and of the Democratic Party and the future of the country and who's going to push forward policies that, if elected, will be best for the country. And I don't want you guys to be can't we all get along? Like, no, don't get along. Get along after the election, not before the election.
Now, the Bernie book is right on the heels of your Snowden book. And so, now, did you talk to Snowden directly?
No, I never got the chance. I have no idea why he wasn't interested, but I corresponded with him indirectly via his ACLU lawyer. So I got everything via email. I didn't think I'd have his cooperation at all. But then in the end, I sent him the full book, and then I got back a bunch of corrections, things that
oh, really?
I'd gotten wrong because I'd relied on the New York Times and Washington
Post. Was that from him or the NSA?
Well, apparently they were from him. I have good reason to believe they were from him. He's a smart guy, knows encryption a little bit.
That's a thing or two.
Going back to Bernie here. I mean, where do you think his campaign is? It seems to have kind of come to a screeching halt. Do you get that sense? I mean, he's in the lead by at least 10 points in New Hampshire. Iowa, I think he's going to lose badly. Mm-hmm. Take us after that, because you're looking at South Carolina, which I can't believe that a social Democrat's going to do well there, but I could be wrong. The caucuses in Nevada, and then, of course, Super Tuesdays. There's like four or five Super Tuesdays in the beginning of the first week of March. Mm-hmm. Where's Bernie campaign, and how's he feeling about this stuff?
Well, I agree with you. I mean, Scott, I agree with your assessment 100%. I think, unfortunately, where things current. I mean, obviously, anything can happen in the campaign. That's the cliche because it's true. I think right now it's Hillary's to lose. I think it was Hillary's to lose in 2008, and she lost it to Obama. And this is going to be so. In a way, where this stands is Bernie can win by default if. Something happens to Hillary. She implodes. There's another scandal. Like, you know, that might happen. You know, this is a Clinton.
No! Clintons and scandals, that never happens.
So you never know. I think, and you also could, I mean, I guess from a proactive standpoint, if Bernie were able to make inroads in time quickly with Black Lives Matter, he could win over Black Democrats, possibly, but it's now time's really running out. But, you know, all you need is another police shooting of an unarmed Black person, and if he were able to somehow rally African American votes in time for those Southern primaries, maybe theoretically, possibly. I mean, that's an important, very important demographic for anyone who wants to be the Democratic nominee. Maybe he could get somewhere there. But I think it's Hillary's to lose, and you have to wait for her to stumble. If she doesn't stumble, it's hers, but she could stumble. I mean, she did in 2008 and did so badly.
Exactly. So, there's a story kind of gaining some traction, too, outside of the political realm, kind of. Antel Nissa, the cartoonist for The Washington Post, did a cartoon making fun of Ted Cruz using his children in a political ad. Ted Cruz then tweets about that. Now, Fred Hyatt, who's the editorial page editor for The Washington Post, pulls the cartoon, which, if you're conversant with the Internet at all, is kind of hilarious. It's like a 60-year-old guy. I'm going to take it off the internet, and no one will see it. And just going, well, the interwebs, they just no one shall see it. Well, if it's already out there, it's out there. But your take on that? You're a former president of the Association of American Editorial Cartoonists.
Yeah, as are you.
Deeply, I am.
I,
And we're both passionate.
I know where you stand on this. As for me, I view what Fred Hyatt did as cowardly. I think as well as you said, impractical. Look, I mean, they put it in their paper. They should stand behind it. It's if someone, whether it's a cartoonist drawing or a reporter writing, whatever. Once you've put it in your paper, it's yours, and you should own it.
Well, Fred Hyatt's excuse is that he didn't actually see it, which is actually by extension kind of hilarious, because it's saying that, well, I didn't really do my job that day.
Yeah, isn't that kind of a firing offense? If I were an editor, I don't think I'd use that as my excuse. I'd be like, no, that's a really good cartoon.
Yes, well, precisely.
And I loved it when I saw it. Like I should have.
That's right.
Had I seen it, I would have loved it. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of my seriously, like, jaw connected to floor. Yeah. As soon as I heard that excuse, I was like, what? Like, oh, I don't get it. I think Ted Cruz is to be commended for the hay he's made out of this. Mm. He's using this for fundraising. He has used social media really wisely. He's a guy who's viewed among some Republican quarters as being unlikable, and yet he's managed to make himself look funny and likable in this episode. He's used Ann Telness as a foil. I would say, this we may look back and say this was the moment that got him elected president. He even drew a cartoon and tweeted it out.
Yeah, the cartoon was actually pretty good.
Making fun of Ann's cartoon. And it was pretty funny.
Yeah, the cartoon that he came out with was Hillary walking two dogs, labeled the New York Times and the Washington Post.
Right.
So, yeah.
Actually, I think it was at least as good as the original cartoon that was at a conference. The other thing that was interesting is I feel like there's teachable moments here. As you and I both know, Scott, political cartooning is has less of a profile than it did years ago. And a lot of people don't really understand how to understand them or what they're supposed to be about. Mm-hmm. I just got an email yesterday from a reader about a cartoon I did about Sandra Bland and questioning the tastelessness of my cartoon, which criticized the decision not to indict anyone in her death in Texas in jail. And the person said, well, did you have to show her in the background hanging in her cell? Isn't that tasteless? Of course it's tasteless. That's why I did it.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to complain about a Ted Rall cartoon being tasteless, then you haven't been paying attention to Ted Rall.
Well, or political cartooning. I mean, political cartooning is not supposed to be, taste doesn't really enter into it. You're there to make to hit your reader between the eyes with a ball peen hammer, and I think that's what Anne was trying to do. And unfortunately, when you yank the cartoon, the message you're sending is that not just that this cartoon is bad. You're saying political cartooning is kind of an invalid form. That's what really concerns me.
And just sort of annoying in that, oh, we're sorry. We're going to get that out of your way right now, sir. Right. Hey, listen, we've got about a little less than a minute to go. Give us the information again where we can get the Bernie book. But before I let you give that information, I just want to say it's an excellent book. It gives you wonderful insight, not just into Bernie Sanders, the independent senator from Vermont, but the entire history and arc of what's happened to the left in the Democratic Party. So where can we go, Ted, besides tedrall.com?
Well, you can I would prefer it if you pre-ordered it from an independent bookstore in your neighborhood. But if you probably don't have one of those, there's always Amazon, and there's my website, which is just rall.com, R-A-L-L.
Okay, excellent. Ted, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Scott. Appreciate it.
Have a good morning.